Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. Composition will be off minor. This is a pretty challenging song to solo on, especially because there's a lot of chords and they're moving pretty quickly and they're moving in strange ways. So we'll get into a little bit of that, like how to negotiate this type of structure, and I'll show you my fingering for the melody. Off minor was first recorded in 1947 by Monk in October of 1947 on the Genius of Modern Music, the one with the yellow cover. And it was actually recorded before that, I think earlier that year in January, by Bud Powell as a trio. And that's an incredible recording. Bud Powell was friends with and studied with Monk and learned a lot of his music, and somehow recorded that song before Monk even recorded it. I don't know how that worked, but anyway, there's actually a YouTube video of me playing the Bud Powell solo on that recording of Off Minor, if you're curious to look that up. And so those are references, but the main reference that I'm using is the recording from 10 years later, 1957, on Monk's Music, the one that Monk does with a larger group. And it's a little bit slower, and it's just the one that I heard first, so it's the one that sticks in my mind the most. It has a little intro. Playing it. Every time I play this melody, I play it with the minor third with the G to the B flat, because the song is basically in G minor, although it's called off minor, meaning it doesn't really stay in G minor for very long ever. It kind of deceptively moves other places. I'm just playing this. That's the basic melody. I like to grab the B flat on top. Just down a scale. Now I'm playing this like a B flat 7 with a flat 9. There's a third up there. And then a sharp 11 with an open E. That chord works quite nicely on guitar. Oops. You would count that intro. It's kind of like 1, 2, 3, 4, bam, 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 bam. That's kind of how I hear it, but it's it's an angular kind of phrase that probably it's best to just listen to it and see what you think. If I play it something like... section, so it's kind of, it starts off in G minor, that's a D flat 7 to a G 7, B minor, B flat 7, E flat major, D 7, back to G minor, then back to this chord, and then it goes, then it's a kind of a D 7, flat 9, sharp 11, kind of like a combination of an A flat 7, D 7, it's all just kind of. I just think of it all as this kind of octatonic kind of sound. Right? So. Sorry. Also a little chromatic line. Kind of nice to play on guitar, easy to play. I feel it kind of like da, 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 like a triplet and then a 16th note. Like, I'm going to tap my foot. Straighten it out and just make it a kind of a 7. I kind of like that also, especially if it's faster. 1, 2. Sometimes I grab the bass with my thumb if I can't get the fingers around there. See, when I'm playing that line, I end up on the first finger, which makes it hard for me to get the other. If I play it this way, if I don't play that line, I can get the bass note with a different finger. If I play the chromatic line, I gotta get the bass line with my thumb. Or I could go. Oh. Nah, that's no good. So I don't really think about that, I just kind of do it automatically because that's the only finger that's left to grab it. Unless I do some weird jumping thing. Or I could slide. I still don't. I don't like this. If I'm gonna play that, I want to play it with the third finger. If I'm gonna play the, or preferably the fourth finger even, play this G flat 7 chord. So so the melody. That's B flat A D. Seven, then you play a fifth here between the G and D. flat major 7, and then I'm playing. Here. That's A section. So that's the fingering that I use anyway. Now the B section is so that it starts off with a D flat major 7 for just two beats. Is a C. A good reference for this is the Steve Cardenas Don Sickler book. Maybe I have it up here. Where is it? I have it here, and they have it. Yeah, that's pretty much what they have. They put a little. What is it? They do these kind of. I usually just play a single note there, but that's cool too. Same thing. So, so the melody is move, starts on the C, the major seventh of the chord, which is a D flat. So the melody starts on the C, up to a D seven. So to a D seven to a B flat minor, then an E flat seven with a sharp 11. The melody is a sharp 11. Then the melody stays on the A, but the chord changes to a B minor. So I have an E flat, E7 with a flat 9. Sure. I don't know how you would get, you could get E like this. That's kind of cool. Try to get the flat 9 and the root in there, but that kind of obscures the melody for me. Then do an E minor. This is an A7. I'm playing a sixth up here between the E and the C sharp because the next melody has two lines. They have the same thing in there. I'm going from memory. I'm just checking. One less note than what I played. I went. But maybe it is. So we'll go. Sorry. So this is E7 here. E minor. A7. And then a kind of a deep. Seven again, sort of a similar chord to what the A sections end in, like a. But that's the counter line. The top line is this major third. Kind of interesting to try singing that. That's quite a rub. I'm playing here just a triad. A flat triad with a D in the bass and an F sharp here. One, fingering 2-1-3-1-1. the bridge. B flat minor, E flat 7 with sharp 11, B minor, E7, E minor, A7, D7 flat 9 sharp 11. With a 6 in it also. So the bridge in time. Some strategies for this. I kind of like to break it down into little cadences. So you've got your home key, then you have, so this is all kind of a turnaround back to G minor. It's kind of a quick secondary dominant to a dominant of B minor, right? D flat 7, or you call C sharp 7, F sharp 7, B minor. That goes to B flat 7, so that's a 5-1 and E flat. So I guess I think in terms of keys, G minor, and then as opposed to thinking about changes, you know, you could just think about what keys, kind of the key centers, and group the changes into cadences. That way it's less stuff to think about, you know. So here's one thing. That's the sort of C sharp 7, F sharp 7, B flat minor. Thing is a 5-1 in E flat. Just a B flat 7 E flat major. So far we've got G minor to B minor to E flat. And then a 5-1. So 5-1 back to G minor. Then you have these two chords at the end, the B flat 7 Now, what are these type of chords? I think of them as both the same type of thing, which is an octatonic sound, because they have a flat 9 and a sharp 11. When I see those type of alterations, those fall within the octatonic sound, meaning like it's a diminished sound. If I'm on a D7, that's a D7. The scale is like it has a D in it and it has also an E flat. That's the way I kind of think about it. Or I think about it as starting from the third as a whole step, starting on the third. F sharp, G sharp, A, and so on. Whole step, half step, alternating. Now, what about the B flat 7 that comes before that? Well, that's a different one. That's because they're in major third relationships. They can't be the same scale. Only scales that are in minor third, only chords that are in minor third relationships would have the same scale. So this scale, that's going to work for D7 and for F7, same thing, as well as A-flat 7 and B7. Those will all have that same sound to them, right? I'm playing the same thing over D7, F7, A-flat 7, and B7. Those are chords in minor third relationships. Those are all in a family of chords that all are contained within this scale. F-sharp, G-sharp, A, B, C, D, E-flat, F, F-sharp, or however you feel like spelling it. It spells different depending on which key you're in. But this one, when you go, after you go in this part of the tune, so you go... Went too fast. This chord, is also the chord from the intro. That's a scale that's different. I mean, the same scale but transposed. Now it has a D natural and an E natural in it. I'm thinking of it again starting from the third, but you can think about it many different ways. You think about it starting from the root of that chord with a half step, B flat and B. So what are these two scales? Well, you could think what is the relationship between the two of them, that is. So the one you use on B flat is like a whole step above the one you use on D, right? Or you could think of it also as a half step below. So what do I mean by that? Well, let's just take an example. Let's say that I'm on the B flat and I'm using, I'll use this little fragment, A flat, B flat, B natural, C sharp, D. Sound. This is a. I'm playing A flat over D7. And what scale can I use? I can't use this one anymore. I mean, it has a C sharp in it and other notes that aren't so great, you know, for that. So this one I'm going to use. I'm going to move it down a whole step so that I'm going. So B flat O's. D7. But look, the D7 one is the same as, I could move that in minor thirds as well. So I could say, now when I come here, I'm moving it up a half step instead of down a whole step. It's the same scale, whether you move it up a half step, down a whole step, you know, by a tritone, whatever, any of those kind of minor third intervals are going to result in the same thing. Likewise on this one, I can start playing that. I can play it down there starting on F, so I could say it. B-flat 7, and then on the D7. So that's an interesting little sound there. Now, what about the bridge? Just the first two bars are quite challenging because you're moving like backwards in a way through your keys. Because normally you would think about D7 as being a dominant of D-flat major, right? D7 being one of the dominants that goes to D-flat along with A-flat and B and A-flat and B and D and F, right? That's the other one. So, but the main one that usually goes to D-flat is A-flat, right? A-flat 7. But you can have D7 goes to D-flat as well. But here we're going the other way. We're going from... we're going to an E-flat 7 after that, like a 2-5, B-flat minor, E-flat 7. So again, it's going backwards, because that whole progression would work quite nicely the other direction. Right, that's a more common way to hear it. I was playing B-flat. Kind of a 6-2-5-1 type of progression in D-flat major, but this is going the opposite way. D-flat major, D7, B-flat minor, E-flat 7. And again, this is the sound of the sharp 11. But just the basic sound of... those are arpeggios. This goes up again, so the whole thing is going backwards. Or you could say subdominant type of movements. So I'm thinking of my, I'm doing my normal stuff I would do, but I'm doing it in kind of a backwards way. D flat major stuff, D7 stuff. The sound, and then 2-5. And then another 2-5, B minor to E7, but this one's slower, meaning that they took a whole bar each. So the other ones take two beats, bar to the E7. Maybe that would be nice like that. So then it turns around and starts doing regular 2-5. So E minor to A7 to a D7. Right? So that's in a way is kind of a 6-2-5 and back into G minor. So the bridge, if I was to visualize it, it'd be kind of like, in a way, it's like a backwards thing and then a forwards thing. So I'm going backwards, backwards, forwards. So... it's really interesting to see how I can't remember it right now, the whole solo, but the Bud Powell solo on that spot does some really cool stuff. It goes like, yeah. So yeah, check it out on YouTube. You can search up that thing. Also, I have a version of me playing it. So anyway, that's the way I think about the tune. It's all normal kinds of changes, but the way that they move is a little unusual. And so I might practice each individual little cadence, like, say, the beginning of the bridge. Just that. It maybe the next two bars, mm-hmm. and so on. So the whole tune might be something like... See you next time. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along. A category called the Language of Jazz, where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar, and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading. We work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.